remotely or...
UFO Undercover, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Welcome to Gia Scott, Dawn of Shades show. You've come to the right place. my name is Golden Hawk, and my co-host, Janine Kimmel.
Hello.
We are here filling in for Gia Scott. There was a personal situation that she was unable to make the show tonight, and her fiancé, Gregory Miller, called me up and asked me if I would fill in on for the show tonight. And the gentleman that was supposed to be guesting tonight, there was some sort of situation going on with a phone number. So that gentleman won't be on tonight. I'm sure he'll be rescheduled. I know his first name, Raven. I don't have his last name.
Raven Caldera.
Raven Caldera.
Yeah.
Yes, will be indeed rescheduled. But tonight is going to be me, my lovely co-host, Janine Kimmel, and we're actually, we have just started our own radio show called the Mystical Mother Earth Show, Living Inspired by Nature. So if it was Earth-related that you were seeking information from, Janine and I, we have our own Earth-related information we can share. I see, obviously, Raven has written a tremendous amount of books, and I honor his information. Janine and I tend to share the more psychological experiences that we have related to Mother Earth, and obviously the mystical aspects. So we're really glad you're here. Synchronicity has clearly brought all of us here, because Janine and I were, you know, basically spontaneously to do this radio show less than 2 hours ago. So thank you so much for coming. I hope indeed that, you know, that we deliver everything that in its proper place, in its proper frequency. So how are you doing tonight, Janine?
I'm good. It's amazing to live what we talk about, because we were just talking about the being ready, you know, welcoming the unknown. Always the spontaneous is really where the energy and the mystical works, and so kind of just being open to what shows up at your gate. And I'm glad we said yes, you know. And we just did our show last night, and the topic was really about the unknown and how we handle the unknown, and so I think this is fun, and I'm grateful. I think that my connection to Mother Earth comes in my form of my paintings and poetry and my books. I've written a children's book, and that's so related to the unfolding of how the earth and nature inspires, you know, storytelling and beautiful paintings and connection, because it seems to me like everything currently happening seems to be one spontaneous magical connection after another, and as Goldie and I were saying before, showing up is the key.
So, right on.
So we're showing up and we're happy to be here. And I don't know who our audience is, but you know, saying hello out there. We're calling from the Northeast. We're in the Northeast, so it's fun.
Yeah.
Just to say hi to whoever's out there.
Yeah, right on.
Right on.
Yeah. Yeah, just so, well, I guess a little background maybe on who we are might be kind of, you know,
yeah.
a little helpful to people who are. So, you first, please. You share.
Okay. Well, let's see. Goldie met me because she interviewed me for my children's book, and then it was a real connection and chemistry, and we do well together, so it's kind of like, you know, when you talk to someone and just things start to reveal themselves and you feel the excitement of discovery and you know, so that's we came together because of my book, The Magic Gown, that I wrote. It's a children's book, but it's really for everybody. It's beautiful, adventure story. It's filled with my paintings. And ever since I was little, you know, I just had this immediate love affair and connection to nature. I felt calm with her, strength from her, guidance from her, and inspired all the time. I was fortunate enough to have like a wild blue jay that lived outside, but would come to fly to me and my family. And you know, we just had these kinds of, I don't know, it was so much fun for me to have what would be probably considered a wild creature sort of my friend, and that influenced my life and even in my story. So I started writing poetry all related to inspiration of nature when I was in my young teenage years, and shy about it, and kept continuing on my journey. Oh, I became a nurse, and I was a labor and delivery nurse for years, and I still am a nurse. But I always just seemed to be a mix of artist, poet, storyteller, and nurse. And now it's all entwined and become, you know, it's what I do. I help people through therapy, and I adore nature, and I'm influenced by nature, and my new book, that's another beautiful children's story, is coming out in February. That we can, I can tell you my website later, and you can, you know, follow it.
Tell them now. We can tell them later as well. Yeah, no, this is a great time to share.
It's my name is Janine L. Kimmel, so it's J L Kimmel, KIMMEL.com. So www.jlkimmel.com. And so you'll see my paintings are very colorful and very, they call them visionary. One thing that's fun and interesting and different is that my paintings precede my storytelling. So I seem to get images before I know what the story is, and then the paintings tell the story. So that's fun and different. And I love being talking with Golden Hawk on the radio, and seems like information and understanding and new territory just has been accelerating. It's been accelerating, and tonight is a confirmation of that.
That's so true. Yeah. Hold on, I'm going to have a coughing fit.
Okay. How about you, Golden Hawk, if you can talk now?
And just so the audience knows, you know, you can hear the stats of a person. I mean, Janine's stats, you know, they're eloquent, they're beautiful. In my humble opinion, Janine's beauty is in her true sense of the connection we all have, the connection between the imagination, the inner child, the warrior. You know, she really is a blend of many. Yeah, I can brag about her. She's my co-host, and I'm, to be quite honest, I'm really grateful that she's in my life. She brings a lot to my world and to the world of radio. I've been in radio for 5 years. I do a show called Another Reality Show on Blog Talk Radio on Thursday nights from 8 to 10. And I'm pretty much one of those people. I've been an explorer my whole life. I've always, you know, gone outside of the box. I'm definitely a rebel, and rebellion doesn't necessarily just mean that you're a lawbreaker. Rebellion means that, you know, for me at least, rebellion means, you know, I rebelled against my religion growing up. I rebelled against the authority who would used to tell me, don't daydream, you know, that's just a waste of time. I rebelled pretty much against anything that tried to box me. My legal name is indeed Golden Hawk. I changed it legally when I was 36, which was 10 years ago. And, you know, I'm very much, I'm a nanny as a career choice. I chose to be a nanny because, to me, there was nothing greater than playing with kids who clearly understand the world of imagination and creativity. And I made a living doing it. I have a college degree, so in my area, to have a college degree, you could make some, you know, pretty good coin nannying. And I did. It was fantastic. And my passion is being on the radio because I personally love being deep down the rabbit hole. So I'm not just an explorer. You know, there are some people who explore the lands. I'm an explorer consciousness. I have worked with frequencies, the frequencies of Holosync, for 10 years. I've worked with drugs, LSD, marijuana, cocaine, those kind of experiences to understand consciousness. I've worked with dream states, and I'm a certified hypnotherapist. I'm just very much interested in who we are from the conscious point of view. So, again, these are kind of the stats of who we are, and just to kind of get a feel for it, because, you know, what me and Janine tend to talk about on our show is what's ever going on in our life at the moment. We personally find, you know, right now to be an incredibly intense time. You know, and intense, not necessarily, that's not a negative, that's not an affirmative, it's just an observation. And so, you know, it really is interesting that, because when Greg Miller called me, you know, a couple hours ago, and, you know, he asked me to do the show, and he has called me before. I'm his go-to girl when if his guests run into some sort of situation and, you know, like less than 2 hours before the show, they cancel. And if you're in any kind of live media, you recognize that this happens all the time. And I have told Greg, you know, it's an honor to help another fellow radio person out, that if something, you know, doesn't work, give me a call. I'll show up. And what was interesting was tonight when he called, he didn't call for me to be a guest. He called for me to be a host because of Gia's situation. And that was really quite a different situation because at the time that I accepted, you know, well, at the time that I was pondering whether I wanted to do this or not, I'm going, who is there a guest involved? And they told me about the young man that, you know, the shaman that was coming on, and I had never heard of him. I didn't know of this gentleman, and so I was really kind of, you know, kind of up the proverbial creek, and I didn't have any paddle. I didn't know what to do. But one thing I know is, there's a feeling, and it's a gut feeling that's inside me, that when opportunities come my way, and often opportunities are dressed in challenges. They look like challenges, and they can even be very much, you know, fearful experiences. Intuitively, my body was saying, take this gig. You want to do this. And of course, I was running it through my head going, you know, I don't know this gentleman. I don't know the protocol of how the show works. So, of course, there's, you know, there's high risk here, you know, of screwing things up, to be quite honest. And again, my intuition just said, take the gig. But what I was doing is, as I was talking to Greg, and, you know, Greg gave me a few moments to think about it, you know, as anybody would, and he was telling me what the other options were. I was scanning in my head, how can I make this work for me? Because if I was to be out here by myself without Janine, I wasn't comfortable. And then all of a sudden in my mind, when I was scanning solutions that would make this situation comfortable for me, I said to Greg, hey, can I call a friend of mine? You know, we're just starting a new show, the Mystical Mother Earth show, and she's excellent on the air. Could we both interview this gentleman? And, you know, Greg's a doll, and he went, sure, of course. You know, and then, you know, to kind of cut to the long story being short, the gentleman, the phone number that Greg, the guy running the switchboard for this radio show, the guest, his number was incorrect. However, it was incorrect. He called several times, and it wasn't going through. So now it ends up being just a show, you know, about me and Janine. And you know, I really, see, this is, it's so synchronistic, because when Greg asked me, the first thing was running through my head was the conversation that Janine and I had during our show last night is really all about that I personally respect people that walk their talk, because I'm somebody who always tries to walk my talk. And there was an intuitive hit today that this was a challenge, but it was a challenge that was it was like, take the challenge. My instincts were telling me, you got to do it. You got to do it. Don't worry about making a fool out of yourself. And I really highly recommend everyone considering making this like a, it's like an internal commitment to self, that when spontaneous situations come up, seriously consider doing them, because I got it. My first knee-jerk reaction when Greg called was, no thanks. You know, I'm just chilling. I've been listening to David Icke all day. You know, it's been raining outside. I'm just kind of mellow, and I'm just chilling today. You know, there's a different space you take when you go on the air. But my head was saying that, and my gut was going, do it, Goldie. Do it. Don't worry about planning. Don't worry about figuring it out. I must admit, I became the person not worrying about planning or figuring it out once I created the link of Janine being with me, because I just knew intuitively I should not be doing this alone, and here it is. Because if I was alone and we didn't even have the guest, I don't think I'd be doing this show at all. Yeah. So it really was just being in the right place at the right time, because, you know, we couldn't be more delighted to share, you know, an audience. You know, I really believe anybody listening right now, this is in divine order. You know, we've all been brought together tonight for a reason that goes beyond my mental capacity, but I'm absolutely thrilled that I'm here, you're here, and Janine's here. So this is good. This is what's going on with me today. That's how me and Janine do. We kind of just talk about what's going on in our world today, you know, or within the past week, because we do a weekly show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that what I've noticed in the last, I mean, it seems even like the last 2 weeks have been more heightened than, and that could just be for me, but I think that there's a certain awareness about just these, you say it and it almost is happening, and, you know, or you put it out there and there it is, and the more you welcome the unknown and the spontaneous, and that you say you know you're ready and you can handle it, I think the more it shows up. And I mean, at least that's what I'm noticing. I mean, that could be not for other people, but and so above all, I think that the experience of that demonstrates it, you know, so that's the walking the talk, and that's really, I mean, ultimately it becomes fun. I mean, the challenge takes on a whole nother feeling of excitement, fun, and that's not just tonight's radio show. That is pretty much every day now. And, yeah, I mean, you know, I'll be talking about an owl on the radio show last night, it just being funny and, you know, saying, oh, yeah, you know, and next thing you know, there's an owl hooing outside my window while I'm on the radio show, and I was like, wow, where'd they, you know, so these kinds of things are, they're fun, and they're happening a lot, and, yeah, so I just, I was tired, but now I'm not at all. I made a cup of tea, and here I am, and, yeah, and I always think that, you know, these are when the gems and the jewels and the show
right
up, because
right.
When you least expect it. So,
right.
Yeah, you know, so.
And the truth is, everybody should have someone in their life that encourages you to be spontaneous. I mean, you know, I'm so thrilled, not just, you know, that me and Janine are here tonight, but that I could call her, you know, at 7:19 on a, your, you know, basic Tuesday night and go, what are you doing for the next couple hours? And, you know, and when I first called her, I mean, you could tell she was tired. There was a little gargle in her voice. And, you know, she's kind of like, well, you know, I'm kind of winding down. But it was always, but what's going on? What's going on? And, you know, and I shared with her, you know, this potential, and, you know, truly without hesitation, she was like, oh, this is what we talk about. You know, yeah, let's play. Let's do this. And,
Yes. You
know, I don't know how many people remember, like, as kids, I mean, I work with kids. I really understand the psychology of life. The joy that most of us are seeking is really hidden within our own ability to be like kids.
Yep.
And,
yep.
You know, when I was a kid, I had many more people in my life that was willing to do spontaneous things. You know, like we'd be in the car, like when we just first learned to drive, and, you know, it'd be like, come on, let's just drive to New York and, you know, walk around New York City or, you know, anything spontaneous. I mean, I've gone on first dates down, I live in Connecticut, I've gone to Disney World as a first date. I've done things like that. And now I'm in my 40s, mid-46, no shame in that, I'm proud of my age, actually. And in all honesty, and I recognize that people have responsibilities, and in responsibilities, spontaneity takes a back seat, but there's also a level of, you know, I have people who are also single, you know, without responsibilities, or with minimal responsibilities, meaning it's just pets. That, you know, they would have to have somebody take care of and stuff. Not saying that pets are minimal, but meaning it's not children. Mm-hmm. And still are not spontaneous. Because life has so much to offer us outside of what we are intending or planning or setting as a goal. And it really comes in a flow. Because the word I wanted to use when you were sharing is, it's momentum. There's momentum when you keep saying yes to life. Remember the movie Jim Carrey when he could only say yes? Did you ever see that?
Yes.
Yeah, yes, ma'am. You know, I really believe there's something to, you know, and I, you know, I understand that there's also, and I know this, there are women that they say yes all the time to the point of exhaustion where they're not taking care of themselves. So.
No, this is a different kind of yes, you know.
Correct.
It's not the over, where you.
People pleasers. This
yeah,
is about
it's not
people pleasing.
This is about knowing when, you know, there's a call or there's a showing up or there's a, you know, this is a, you know, like, I do this a lot in my creativity and in my storytelling where, you know, something shows up and it's really, looks, seems like nothing. Like, for instance, my little girl character catches a shell that falls out of a seagull's mouth. You know, it seems like nothing. She's like, oh, no, she puts it in her pocket. But really what, unbeknownst to her, it begins. begins this quest. And so I'm always looking at the subtle yes, the subtle, you know, as the opening. And one of the things I've learned, and this holds true as to why ritual is great when you're doing creative work, and is that energy follows action. So in terms of your, like, speaking about momentum, it's true that saying yes is taking action, and the energy will follow that. So that's a really true, almost physics thing, but it crosses over into beyond physics. It's more, that subtle energy that we're talking about. So,
right.
Yeah, so I love that. And it's what's amazing is when it keeps becoming confirmed, you know?
I know.
Yeah. And
I mean, just last night we said, you know, we'll talk to each other maybe by Thursday.
Yeah. And there's something, I don't know if it's for everybody, but there's something really fun, to be able to be quick on your feet, to meet the challenge in a moment. Like there's not much preparation time. It's like, come on, do it. And I think that that's a fun challenge and a practice. And
Well, and it's unique because there is it's almost like we look at fear and we laugh.
Yeah.
And to have that quality what's the word I'm looking for? It's funny. It's a texture word. I'm putting my fingers together. In the world, as in the state of the world it is today, I kudos to you and myself, and kudos to everybody that understands the paradox that fear, this fear on the planet, you know, keeping us in this box. And the fear is really, you know, again, you have to remember, everyone, I've been listening to David Icke all day. You know, it's about us giving our power away to fear, or when we act spontaneously, it's about getting our power back, you know, truly. And just to do the thing, I mean, Janine and I personally just love talking to each other, and doing it on a radio show, that's just even that much more funner, you know, because it seems like it's nothing to face fear in this day and age, and yet on the flip side of that, it's everything to face our fears in this day and age. You know, we really are being squeezed. I mean, the energy that I get. Now, one thing that's also relevant about Janine and I, we both spend extraordinary amounts of time in nature.
Yeah.
And with the intention that, you know, connecting to the Mother Earth as an entity, as a being. 11 years ago, my mother passed. And when my biological mother died, it was like that experience handed me over to my planetary mother, and I have formed a connection with Mother Earth that when all this stuff is going on with, you know, the environment and weather changes and economic changes and political changes, there's a lot of chaos, a lot of energy. People are panicking. People are not knowing what's going to happen. And, you know, the fear of the unknown is one of the greatest fears that we have. And connecting with Mother Earth, this is actually why me and Janine started the Mystical Mother Earth Show, really brings a sense of peace and presence. It's like any other mother brings to our to our experience. I mean, my biological mother was always the person that I used to say, she would shield me from the world. You know, I was able to be a rebel, and I was able to be mischievous. My mother died when I was 35. And she would stand in front of me while I was doing all my mischievousness, and I always felt like She was the shield. She was taking all the world's crap that they were throwing my way. She threw, but from her perspective, you know. And truly, when my mother died, I was 35 years old, I was brought to my knees. I could not work. I could not think. It was without a doubt the initial dark night of the soul for me. I have had other dark night experiences with drugs and alcohol, and my mother's death trumped all of them. I really just could not physically breathe for 6 months, and the only thing that brought life back into me with a sense of trust and a sense of presence and a sense of purpose was going to the woods and being in the forest. And I know that, you know, most people tend to go around, you know, I think people become very spiritual when people die. And, you know, they'll either go to churches or temples or mosques. Organized religion has never worked for me. I was raised Jewish, and since my, you know, nobody asked me. They just raised me Jewish. And when they did finally ask me, which was after I was bat mitzvahed, you know, do you want to continue your studies? You know, there was a resounding no. And it's basically been the last time I've gone to a temple. Even when friends of mine get bat mitzvahed, or the kids that I'm watching with a nanny get bat mitzvahed, I'm always like, I'll meet you at the party. I just have no desire to go to temples. It is organized religion does not work for me. But Earth does work for me. Earth is my religion, and I'm not a pagan. I honor pagans. I would consider myself similar to the gentleman that was supposed to be here tonight. I'm a shaman in that. I speak to the earth, and the earth speaks to me. I speak to the animals. Janine also has a very, you know, I'm going to use this word consciously. We're intimate with Mother Earth, because we do recognize her as an actual being with guidance, and, you know, she is not, Mother Earth is not a rock hurling through space, going through changes right now. Mother Earth is a pregnant being who is preparing to give birth. And in my humble opinion, what she's giving birth to is a new humanity. A humanity that does not have a duality in existence. It doesn't have the polar opposites of right and wrong, good and bad, evil and light, or evil and good, light and dark. This is what I have been taught from spending many years deep down the rabbit hole in worlds of consciousness.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really enjoy speaking about Mother Earth, and I know Janine does too. So let's, you know, maybe we should share. Let's share some, like, you know, mystical stories, maybe.
Well, okay.
Or whatever I've triggered in you.
What I was going to say, and you started talking, which was similar, was the reason. And you know, I've done radio interviews about my book and about my work, and I do children's workshops and things like that. I think why I feel comfortable saying yes to a show about the mystical Mother Earth and being inspired by nature is because it's so authentic for me, and I feel such a trust and confidence in my ability because I feel so connected and all my life that there's a comfort I feel in just representing that, though, and I trust that what needs to be said and my love for Earth and nature just, you know, will guide me. So it's not like it's not like I feel nervous about it. I feel very at peace with it. So that's a really good indication that you know, you're speaking from a place of center and truth, and that's how I feel about Mother Nature all my life. So it's funny because after all this time of loving nature and sitting in trees and just waiting all day just to get close to an animal or, you know, writing poetry about nature but too shy to share it with anybody, after all these years, it's so beautiful and beautifully synchronistic and sort of it feels like a gift, you know, that I am now able to speak about my love for Mother Earth on a show. And, you know, it showed up by a long story of, you know, you're inspired, so you make art. And then you go on a vision. I went on several vision quests and, you know, to confront fear and work with an anthropologist. And then 11 years later, I write a book based on these beautiful paintings I did. And now I end up being interviewed by Golden Hawk, and we become friends, and then we do a show together, and there I get to speak about Mother Earth. And it's like, that's incredible. That's beautiful.
An awesome story.
That's beautiful, because it was my intention from when I was a teenager, which I had my own tragedies in my family due to accidents and things that, you know, it was really hard at times, and yet it was just this natural force that was with me.
Yeah.
And it was all nature. It was all beauty. It was transformative. There was never a time that I was not spontaneously transformed by some beautiful energy of nature that I knew when I was about 19 or 20 that I wanted to, in the course of my life, help other people feel this connection and transform from a dark place to a more uplifted, enlightened place. And here, you know, and it's been a long journey. I went and I became a labor and delivery nurse, which then I didn't connect it, but I do help people give birth to, you know, a new place, an initiation to a new place. And that seems to be one of my natural tendencies, is to help initiate. And so, that in itself, you go, wow, that's a great story, because it's a true story, and it is a great story, and and the best stories that are great are true. So, it's just, and it's fun to be able to share with an audience that's new and unplanned. And
yeah.
I hope you're enjoying it. And I could tell lots of great stories about, you know, I could tell my bluebird story.
We have six minutes till we go to the top of the hour, but 6 minutes is a long time. Tell your bluebird
story. Yeah, I'll tell you.
Definitely.
Okay, this is just a beautiful connection of somewhere in the ethers how things work. I went in July to take a beautiful run in a meadow, wildflowers, gorgeous, and it was all just dragonflies and butterflies, and next thing you know, I go around a path, and there's a bluebird, and it's so beautiful, I just sit there, and I watch it, and then, you know, after about 5 minutes, it flies away, and it's so beautiful that I go home, and I Google the image of a bluebird, because I want to send it to one of my sons, and just say, look what I saw. So I Google it, and I hit an image of all the images I pick, and underneath it says, life shrinks or expands in proportion to one's courage. And it was written by Anais Nin, who's a French woman. She's long gone, but incredible writer and risk taker. And I said, wow, that's beautiful. So just, I shared that with so many people, and it really kind of became the theme of what I was trying to express and also own in my own life, you know, that be courageous, which of course to me is all about the heart, and saying yes when you're feeling like, you know, challenged. But so then in August, late August, a young woman calls me, a screenplay writer, and she said, I've been hearing about you for 2 years, but, you know, she was from Santa Fe, now she's in New York, I really want to work with you. And I said, okay, great. Okay, so I said, now that you've talked to me, now start tracking your dreams and your thoughts, because we've already begun to work together. She goes, oh yeah, I definitely knew I needed to call you today after 2 years because I had this great dream. I said, save the dream, we'll talk about it when I see you. Okay, so I see her like 2 weeks later. I said, let's hear the dream. Well, there was a bluebird that flew over me, and it dropped two feathers in my hand, and a woman next to me just said some incredibly profound thing about my ability to see and have vision, and I knew I needed to call you. And I just was like, oh, wow. And so there was this beautiful, I mean, it was so, how could it be so that, you know, I have this bluebird experience and then this person who's never met me calls me to talk to me after a dream she had about a bluebird, and I just say, well, that's just incredible, mystical Mother Earth and all those beautiful creative forces, you know, and that is just one of so many of my stories that, what do? They verify, they support, they do all the wonderful things. So, yeah, so, and I'm sure you have lots of them too, you know, where they just, it's just these gifts that, that come your way and validate. So, and I'll share more. I'm sure I'll think of them, but I know we're taking a break soon, so.
Yeah, no, you're doing perfect. We still got 3 minutes, and,
okay.
You know, and I do think it's important for everyone to, you know, let me, I invite everyone to understand that communication is going to come through everything.
Mm-hmm. It,
communication, I mean, I don't know how many people have synchronistic experiences like, you know, you could be walking through a bookstore.
Yeah.
You know, and a book drops into your hand. You know, you open up to a page and there's a question that's been burning on your mind for a while and literally the paragraph you look at answers the question. Or, I mean, oh my God, you know, think about it. Think in your heart how many times something synchronistic has happened to you, and not just because, you know, and I get that synchronicity also will come through through the human experience.
Oh, yeah, like a person sits next to you, and all of a sudden they're talking the subject that's been working you, or, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, or you're exactly. there for them, or they're there for you. And that's
but it's also Earth. Earth knows you intimately, and you are intimately connected with Earth. You know, when people say, I don't feel connected, I mean, literally, you're made of the same, you're made of the elements of Earth. You eat her food, you drink her water, you breathe her air. Everything you're doing, no matter what your career, it is because it's been given on this planet. This planet is birthing us. We are becoming the cellular structure of the new humanity. And so, the connection is very simple. Just show gratitude to Earth, and that connection will be there instantly.
Yeah,
because it never left. You can't not be connected to Earth. You're here. You live on Earth. But to get it from a conscious level, to get it to the messages that she wants to, you know, send you, which she already is sending you, but the ability to hear them comes when there's a conscious level of gratitude for everything that she's given to sustain us.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful and true. Gratitude, that's it. You know, it might even be the key that locks the door.
Or the door.
I mean, that's what I mean, unlock the door.
It's 9, Funky. Okay, so it's 9 o'clock, and I guess what happens is they're going to do the commercial breaks, and I think it's something like 8 minutes long. So everybody can take a break and, you know, grab something to drink, you know, go to the restrooms, and we'll be back. You're talking to Golden Hawk and Janine Kimmel from the Mystical Mother Earth Show. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
is a special news bulletin.
Stand by for action.
Attention. I'm Gia Scott, and I was curious what you were doing from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time on Tuesdays. See, I host this really interesting little radio program that airs live then, and we bring in all sorts of guests. Authors, experiencers, and everything in between. It's paranormal and guaranteed to make you go, My guest list is always up at www.giascott.com, and do tune in to the Dawn of Shades from 7 to 9 p.m. on Tuesdays.
Are you interested in a radio program that focuses on the deeper aspects of the UFO topic? Would you like to explore the facts and truths of what ufology and UFO research are all about? And please join us here every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for Eye to the Sky, the UFO Synopsis, with your host, Dee Andrew, here on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. And remember, UFO research is not a belief system.
Light up your night with The Kevin Smith Show. Hi, this is Kevin Smith. Join me Monday through Friday right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
The Church of Mabus Radio Show is now in session. Saturday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern, with high strange scholars teaching us of ufology, the paranormal, the occult, and the metaphysical. Seek Sanctuary with the Dark Reverends, Jeffrey Pritchett and Guy Widell at www.mabusincarnate.com. Always moshing with the apocalypse. Now get down on these and pray!
Hello everyone, Trish Sheridan, host of A Global Focus. Come join us each Friday evening at A Global Focus's new time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Come join the discussion.
Hi, this is Ron Simone, and I want to tell you about my brand new show here on the Paranormal Radio Network. Each week, I bring you the most interesting people on the planet, the most in-depth discussions, and the most controversial issues. We go where no talk show dares to go. Join me every week for the Rob Simone Talk Show here on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
To UFO Undercover, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Much love to her and Gregory. So, yeah, we were talking about when we left the connection to Mother Earth is about, you know, when we show gratitude, that, you know, the connection is basically instant.
Yeah, I'm thinking gratitude is the mother load.
The mother load of Mother Earth.
No, I really think so. I think that that is the key to gratitude, recognition of that connection and that force or energy or support. I think, you know, I've heard it before, but when you were talking about it before the break, I was like, that's it. It's gratitude.
Right.
You know, if I was going to pick, someone said, name it, I would say gratitude. And pretty much everything after that might follow. But, And remember that other word that we were talking about, the word lore? That it's like a,
yeah.
It almost feels like a magnetic pull or a a calling or a connection as well, L-O-R-E, that you're soon to be interviewed, George. How do you say his last name?
Okay, this is good practice. Kavassalis.
Kavassalis, right.
Yeah.
So he speaks of that lore word, which I think is incredible.
Give them the background on that, just so they, you know, the law and the lore.
Yeah, well, you're better at that, because I picked up on it, but you explained it, so I think you might explain it better.
Okay. We were talking on the show one night about, you know, there's many people in the New Age industry that talks about the law of one, the, you know, L-A-W, the law of one, and universal laws. And George Kavassalis, who has been abducted by aliens since he was, well, all his life, but his memory goes back to the age of 5. I believe he's in his late 30s or early 40s now. His entire life, there were certain points in time of his life where he would be abducted like 2 to 3 times a week. He is now, he just got finished with a world tour. What he's doing is he's sharing the information garnished from all these experiences. He's clearly met several races of UFO people and or UFO beings, and as just a very, you know, small part of the wisdom that he's sharing, he was talking about the difference between law, L-A-W, and lore, L-O-R-E. And Janine was really taken one night when I brought this up, because, you know, the lore, we all kind of get into that, you know, when you say the word lore, you know, how it comes to your mind. And for me, it's like, you know, mystical. I think the lore of the children's stories that have been, you know, I've been a nanny for 20 years. There's a law, a lore of children's stories that talks about, you know, the morals, you know, the Hansel and Gretels, and, you know, the more popular ones would be Disney, and you know, the how they talk about the different cultures, and, you know, kind of what that brings to us. Because what I like about the lore of stories is how it, you know, everything has a consciousness. Everything has a voice. Because I recognize life to be that. It's my imagination, but I don't look at imagination as anything less real than the third dimension. I just look at it as it's real, but it's less dense. It's not a physical realness. It's another realness.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look at life from that perspective, oh my, life really opens up.
you start to feel like a an attraction or a pulling, or it's like a luring, like, you know, those, you know, to the stories, or just to the energy of Earth, or like the lore of a forest, or the lore of the sea, or the lore of a mountain. You know, they all seem to have a lure. And I thought the word was beautiful and soft, as opposed to the word law. And I guess lure and gratitude, those two words really kind of are powerful words to me, about what my connection is, which is how Mother Earth, nature, creativity, unfolding, spontaneity, they all seem to together. And at least for me, and that's what I'm following, you know, and so that's like a lure. I'm following something.
Right.
And I literally feel like it. I'm following something. So,
yeah.
Just a beautiful terminology. And
yeah.
You know how I like words.
Yes. Well, we're both pretty much wordy wordsmiths, between the two of us. We do, you know, at least you're conscious enough that you've written them down. I have not created a book, or I don't even really journal, or I've never really been much into writing things down. I've always been a talker. It was funny, when the radio show first came my way 5 years ago,
it was just an extent, for me it was a no-brainer. It was like, of course I'll do a radio show. And I mean, I was definitely, you know, I was nervous and scared in those early days. But I realized that, you know, I would spend hours on the phone with, you know, friends and, you know, basically anybody that would listen to me and talk about spiritual and talk about the existence of other dimensions. And because it's interesting, I wasn't always so based in the imagination, because I came at spirituality from a very scientific point of view. I wanted it to be proven. And when I mentioned earlier in the show at the top of the hour that I had worked with frequencies, Holosync is basically a 10-year program where you wear headphones, and in the headphones they have two separate frequencies going into your head at the same time. And it's a scientific fact. Robert Monroe actually invented this it's like a patented way that if you have two separate frequencies going into your ears simultaneously, the brain can't decipher which frequency. So what it does is it creates a third frequency, which is the difference of the two. So if you have, let's say, 8 megahertz and 4 megahertz, you would create a third frequency of 4. That's the difference between 4 and 8. And what he did was he mapped that different frequencies would create different states of consciousness, the alpha, the beta, the theta, and the delta. So Holosync took Robert Monroe's idea. Robert Monroe coined it as hemisync. Bill Harris coined it as Holosync. And what he did is it's a 10-year process where you gradually shift the frequencies. And what it's doing is, it's doing several things. It's clearly creating mental awareness. You would go into a delta wave, and delta is a very deep conscious state of being. Most people go into delta when they're dreaming, but when you listen to the Holosync, you could actually do it. If you could stay awake, you would go into delta and be awake. And what happened was, within the first 2 years of my doing the Holosync, and this was a daily practice, within the first 2 years of doing the Holosync, I had an experience where I went onto a spaceship. And I was very conscious of it, and it was a very real experience, because when I came down from the spaceship, and when I tell you I went on the spaceship, my consciousness went on the spaceship. My body was still in my bed, but like when the experience began, I was lying in my bed in my bedroom. My bedroom was the last room of the house, and then it was the outside. And I looked at the wall, and I could see through the wall. It was like the circular window had opened. I could see down the street. There were three spaceships coming. I knew intuitively they were coming for me. And just so everybody knows, this was not an abduction. I believe that I chose to go, because when they came over my house, well, one of the ships came over my house and put a beam of light. I was frightened, hands down. I was scared. But I don't know how many of you guys out there have seen the movie. It's kind of an old movie, Risky Business, when Tom Cruise says, you know, sometimes you just got to say, what the F? I won't swear. I'll be a good girl. And when the moment came, I said, what the F? Well, let's do this. And I felt my I didn't even, when your consciousness travels, I didn't know my body wasn't with me until I got dropped back into my body. But I did experience, like at one point I was above my house. I wasn't in the ship yet. I was above the house. And I had what I call the oneness experience. I was completely aware of everything going on in my neighborhood. I was aware of the droplets of water in the air and on the ground. I was aware of the birds, the air, the people walking, cars driving. It was a level of intelligence that is mind-boggling. The level of knowingness, and it's, there's no doubt involved in that knowingness. That knowingness is deep, it's to the core. I guess I should just keep telling the story, right?
Yeah.
So I went into the ship. The ship was not made of metal. It was an organic ship. And the reason why I say this is when I got into the ship, if I looked at a certain part of the ship, and the ship was, the colors were very pastel, really beautiful, but if I would look at a part of the ship, it would glow in response to me looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I could feel that it was conscious that I was looking at it and consciously telling me it's looking at me as well. And I remember, you don't really walk. You just kind of move from space to space because I found myself in another room, but I didn't walk to another room. I just found myself in another room. There were about 7 to 9 discs that were floating. There was no legs on the bottom of these. They were tables, but they were just kind of levitating in the air. They were around these discs, and several of the people I actually recognized from, like, an Abraham Hicks workshop that I've done. I've been to a Cryon channeling. There was somebody there that I recognized from the Cryon channeling. So there were Earth people that I had recognized. I didn't know these people to call them friends, but I remembered them, and I thought it was kind of interesting. Oh, hey, look who's here. Okay. And then the being came out. There was a 9-foot being, a huge cranium, huge head, but didn't have, to be honest, the best description of the alien that I spoke with, or that was telepathically speaking with me, it had the head that looked like the Wizard of Oz head in the curtain when it was, you know, the mean Wizard of Oz. That's very similar, except this alien wasn't angry. I told through a channeler it was a she, but I very much took the energy as a he. But I was told that it's a female. She had a white robe on. It had gold trim. She glided out. Again, she didn't walk. It was just a very graceful, smooth, liquid-like kind of move. You know, it just glided out.
Mm.
I believe it gave everybody a telepathic message because her lips didn't move. The message she had given me was to continue to lay my hands on the people. After that, I don't have a cognitive recognition of how I left the ship. I don't believe I left at that point. I believe things went on that until either my body reaches a certain frequency or something happens to trigger it, that's when those memories of whatever else happened will come forth for me. But as a conscious memory, I don't have any conscious memory of anything beyond that. And what was really interesting for me was when I woke up in my bed during that episode, I opened my eyes and I was paralyzed. I couldn't move my body.
Yeah.
And boy, the four-letter words that were in my mind at that point, because I literally thought that, okay, I'm now a paraplegic because I chose this experience. I have to pay for this by not being able to ever move again. And I was so angry and so scared. And after about 20 minutes, I finally could move a pinky, and I realized that I went, oh, my God, this is density. Like, this is what I'm always walking around in. It's just I'm coming from a frequency that was so fine. When I came back into this body, it was clear to me that it was I was dense. I mean, you know, and I'm not talking intelligence. I'm talking the physicality of my abilities. I felt like I weighed 1,000 pounds. There was 1,000 pounds of pressure throughout my entire body. And I'd say the entire process where I could move again on total took about 1.5 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you had the headphones on the whole time?
And I was holosyncing the whole time. Well, what it was is holosync. It was an it's an hour long process actually, and then it shuts off. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's That's an excellent question. I don't remember if it's when it shut off that I either A stopped remembering or came back down.
Yeah.
Right. But it took you 40 minutes to get into the delta state, and then the last 20 minutes would be in delta. So I recommend it to anybody who's that or HemiSync, and HemiSync is spelled HemySync. Mm-hmm. If you're looking to create paranormal experiences, or, it definitely opens doorways and dimensions, because that's what frequency is, and that's what I mean by I kind of came at this from the angle of science, but I have learned that the grace of divinity works through imagination in a much more eloquent way. Imagination. I've definitely had experiences, lucid dreaming, balls of light that have gone around my apartment. I've had a lot of experiences of synchronicities, speaking with animals. I mean, my name Golden Hawk came to me through a vision that I had at a sacred ground, a place called Hawk Rock in the Hudson Valley, New York. And, science is a wonderful way to prove to yourself, if you need to know that it's real. But the elegance of the imagination I'm learning, will take me much more farther out than the frequency technology ever could.
But, it's funny because I think what you said, I loved what you said about frequency opens into other dimensions, and I think that, that there's natural frequencies that, just occur for whatever reason, the person, but I do believe that those are the times, and maybe they're always, don't know, but when you can move into these other places of imagination, and then, they seem so real, so it's kind of like, well, they probably are, so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
yes.
But I do think that there is a frequency going on, but it's just a natural frequency. And I mean, I would almost say that when I'm responding intuitively, it's really that there's probably a frequency I'm in that we've named intuition. But because you enter these kind of worlds of, that's what vision is, or visionary, or revelation, like something gets revealed to you, or and it's like playing. Which is great.
Absolutely.
I do think it's frequency, and I do think that these are genuine places of moving into openings. And I love that. I've never really verbalized it like that, but when you said the frequency part, it kind of hit me that, wow, that's probably the natural frequencies of what we call intuition, but,
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think dimensions are all about frequencies as well.
Yeah, so, and they're just we're people are probably feeling them, and I know that they're subtle, and I do have always been sort of fascinated and pay attention to those when people start talking about subtle energies, but I do believe they're there, but we're not using the senses that we're normally used to.
Right.
So then we kind of classify them as subtle, but it's just different, And I think it's
right.
Frequency. So that's
right.
Beautiful about moving into different places. And I had never heard your story about.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, right.
No.
Cool.
So happy I got to hear it.
Yeah. Well, and what's interesting is, I must say though, the holosync, the energies, they're pretty, they're fierce, and the frequency. And I say that because one thing I started getting used to, and all my friends started getting used to, is what you would do is you would be in a frequency from 2 to 3 months, listening on a daily basis, because what you're actually doing is you're allowing your brain to get used to the frequency, and once it gets used to the frequency, it stops, it doesn't affect you anymore. You won't go to sleep on it, because what would happen is every time I would change a level of frequency, the first 2 weeks I would go into bliss of listening, and I'll be honest with you, I'm a rebel, you know, I said that at the time. I was listening to these frequencies 2 or 3 times a day, and they recommend that you only do it once a day.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first 2 weeks I would be blissed out, but the next, like, 3 to 5 weeks, I would be having mental breakdowns. Because what it's actually doing is, have you ever seen the Greg Braden video when he shows if there's water, a frequency going through a drop of water, as he turns the dial, the pattern in the water changes its complexity based
yes.
on the range of the frequency?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, well, the exact same thing is happening to my water and my brain waves, and through intention, you would grab, so every time you would go up and do another level, first it would feel really good and it would, you know, you'd go to sleep and you'd have wild dreams and, I mean, I put just the stuff I love, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then what would happen afterwards, you go to a point where it scrambles things before it pops into the new, more complicated version of the sacred geometry is actually what is going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the midst of that scramble, you're scrambled. You know, I mean, my friends would all be like, you know, and when I was scrambled, you know, I was at the grocery store one time, I couldn't decide whether to buy 2% milk, 1% milk, mm-hmm. whole milk. I had a mental breakdown, and a really good friend of mine at the time, Lewis, goes, are you on a new level of that stuff you do? I'm like, yeah, can you get me out of here? You know, I was like crying and freaking out and, you know, finally got to the point where he would be like, I'll call you in 3 weeks. You know, you're really a nutcase. And he used to say to me, why would you do this intentionally? Why would you purposely put yourself in chaos?
Mm.
And my answer to him was always, A, that, I'm a traveler and I'm an adventurer. The price was well worth paying. I mean, I only went on a spaceship once. I've had other experiences, but just that one time being on the ship, I mean, I was hoping the other 8 years that I continued to do it, that I would have a similar experience, and I didn't. But I also knew intuitively that a lot of the situation that's happening on the planet today is about the frequency of the planet is shifting.
Yeah.
So essentially what's happening is it's like a universal holosync is happening on the planet. And because I've done it intentionally, I'm much more capable of handling the chaotic frequencies because I've already trained my brain to have the sacred geometry necessary to hold the higher frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was going crazy back in 2002, but here we are in 2011, and where a lot of people are freaking out now, and I honor that, I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Wow, that's good. I mean, yeah, it's like practice that back then that has prepared you for now.
And it was all done intuitively, but right, exactly, is what I'm, you know. I think many of us, like I said, you know, I mean, I also went to the woods 10 years ago, 11 years ago. That's also very much...
And I started painting doorways. You know?
Yeah, let's talk about your doorway.
Literally.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want everybody to know, when you go to Janine, you should go and visit Janine's page. I mean, just for the beauty. These paintings are, you know, she called them visionary, but they really are, there's mystical qualities of, you know, her trees have doorways in them, and her colors... The picture of the polar bear in the forest.
Yeah.
The pastel colors that Janine uses are like, I would say, the earth representation of the colors that I saw on the ship.
Ooh.
And that's not a coincidence. You know, it's like they're very, you know, you can only work with the colors you have on a certain dimension. So they were, so they had a more lighter, they were alive, actually.
But
yours are, too, in that I can feel you're connecting with it. It's just your palette is what your palette is in the third dimension. But there's definitely a quality of essence, and it speaks to me of those realms. And I recommend everybody take a look at them because, you know, they're beautiful gifts, you know, and they're beautiful art to have. I mean, wow, if you guys could see the room I'm in right now. I mean, I have nothing but animals and art and plants and, you know, I'm a, what do they call that? I'm a...
What?
I'm at a loss for words. They call that silence, Goldie. And I keep thinking, I'm an image junkie. You know, like...
Yeah,
I like images.
Well, they say that symbols and images are powerful.
Pardon?
Yeah, well, thank you. No, well, symbols and images are, they almost, you know, they're language of a kind, and they I think that they evoke, you know, something, and that's what my paintings, I create them intuitively, but then they evoke something in me. You know, it's almost like the painting, it comes and I'm always surprised by what I paint, and then it's like maybe weeks later, months later, all the paintings start to connect, and then I realize that, you know, I'm creating a story and there's a common thread and these paintings are showing me the way. And that's exactly what I started doing in 1998. I just started painting a giant doorway. And this was a beautiful, this was sort of the unfolding of that, I guess, phenomenon. But I painted this first door and it was life size. It was beautiful cornflower blue. It's on my website and surrounded by flowers. And, you know, it has a childlike quality because I tend to like to teach children. And so I had a dream about a week into the painting. The painting was still underway. And I had a dream that this woman was singing to me in this beautiful high-pitched voice over and over again. She was singing Ten Kings and Roses. That's all she was singing over and over again in this beautiful high-pitched voice. And I woke up, and I went, Ten Kings and Roses. I was like, oh. And I go, I bet you that's where the doorway goes. Like, so I related the dream to my doorway.
Wow.
And then I said, oh, I bet you there's more than one doorway. And so I finished the first doorway, and then I went to the second. And that was just an intuitive thing, and a third, and I ended up, in a year's time, I just followed this. I had seven doorways, and then these landscapes, and then these creature, these characters, and these giant tropical eagles, and I called them the lovers, because they were just, this couple, you know, and then I surrounded myself, as you know the story, I put them all in my studio, and I realized I was writing a story through my art, and I started to write the magic, the story of the magic gown on the walls around the paintings. But the whole premise of these doorways was that it went to this place, the land of Ten Kings and Roses, and it just was a following. You know, I just let it. I gave a character to the story. I realized it was for children, so you kind of need to know your audience. And then I just started writing it, and it was probably about 2 years, maybe more, that I came to the end of the story. And so it was pretty amazing because right when you were doing the Hemisync, I was I was in the thick of writing the magic gown with all the art and.
Right,
the unfolding. Right, yeah, and when people look at my my website and then understand my story, they realize it's all symbology, you know, and yeah, so.
Well, you know, but I want to say something, because if you look at the works of Gene Roddenberry,
or who's the gentleman who created Star Wars?
Lucas?
George Lucas. Mm-hmm. People that are avid UFOlogists, you know, I know this is the Paranormal Network, and I know, you know, you have a lot of people that are, you know, we're into the UFOs, and when you look at all their work, and I'm bundling you with them, mm-hmm. you really realize that nothing comes from the imagination. The word imagination is literally, it's just the ability to pull from other dimensions.
Yeah.
But if you can create it, it exists.
Right, and it, you know, it consumed me in a way that I was taken, which was wonderful. And
there you go.
And the interesting thing was is that my little girl character ended up being, by heritage or ancestry, a star traveler.
Oh,
I mean,
nice.
And so this was another realm. This was, I called it the realm of the colorful wind. And yeah, and now I'm writing the sequel, which is the return of the colorful wind, and the people came first. And the, you know, it's just funny.
Yeah, well, you know, welcome to the world of ADD, my friends. We don't do things in linear ways.
No. No.
Yes, we do things in circular around here.
And what's interesting, too, is so I guess I just realized that telling my story, that dream time is a big part of my creativity. You know, it interplays with it, and
I don't know a visionary that doesn't utilize dream time.
Yeah,
from Einstein to Casey to Roddenberry.
Yes.
Because you know, it literally it's the space. What my teachers have basically told me, what's happening to us in our dream time is exactly what happens to us during death, except in dream time we come back into the body when we wake up.
Exactly.
Excuse me.
I think we're going to get
our answers from there. Sorry.
Yeah, and I think I was given information about the Land of Ten Kings and Roses.
Right.
Is that
going to be in the second book?
No. The Ten Kings and Roses isn't showing up. It's now, I call it somewhere in the wilderness, and it is here. It's not in another realm. It's present here. And whether this place, somewhere in the wilderness, which is where the polar bear lives that you talk about, I have a feeling that it's not able to be seen by everybody, but it exists here. So it's got a quality that...
That would be like James... That's like James Redfield's Shambhala.
Yeah, it's like an elusive...
Prophecy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an existence of a place, but not visible to everybody. But perhaps, you know, you kind of don't know until you really, you know, who knows what shows up in stories. Like, I just go, you know, I get as surprised as anybody when I'm writing, and I'm like, wow, where'd
yeah.
that come from? So, it is here, though. It's not in the
okay,
land.
Okay, right on. Right
yeah.
on. Yeah. Brilliant. I love it.
I wish we could get callers, but that's not the way it is, right?
No. I don't know.
I don't think so.
We have 13 minutes. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing earlier during the break that we should ask it during the break. But
I think not though. So it's all right. But I'm always aware of the audience going, oh, I wonder if they're wondering or thinking or what they have questions or you know.
Well, right. That's why we'll trust our intuition to hopefully answer at least
yeah.
some of the questions somebody you know people yeah. might be answering or asking.
Yeah.
I did want to share, only I should have shared it before when we were talking about George. George Kavassalis, like I said, has, you know, been abducted his entire life. And I'm doing an interview with him on September 29th, and I welcome, you know, to, you know, come on down and take a listen to the interview. It's a Thursday night. It's actually in 2 weeks. Thursday, September 29th from 8 to 10. On Blog Talk Radio, and I put my radio show, it's called Another Reality Show, in the spirituality column. So if you're interested, George gives good radio, boy. He's one of my favorite people on the planet.
because he's very much earth conscious, but his experiences were, you know, they're extraordinary, and he shares them pretty openly and honestly, and we'll have a Q&A too. It'll be a 3-hour show, so
nice.
You know, yeah. Sorry, I wanted to share that because it seems like the audience to share that with.
That's good. Yeah.
So, okay, so more Mother Earth stories. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I can tell a great dream story that is also in the Magic Gown. And one of the things about my story is that there's lots of hidden things, and so they're fun to look for, but also stories behind it that I had a dream. You know the tree that you love with the doorway in it?
Yeah.
Okay, so inside that tree is this beautiful spiral staircase made of crystal. And I had a dream, and I purposely put that in there because it correlated to a dream I had where I was spinning in the air, and consciously, while I was dreaming, I decided I would go as high and as I could, with, you know, not being afraid, just keep going. And so in this dream, I was spinning and like up like a force, and I came to this pure white room, and in the room was only this clear plastic box, and there were these two spinning dice in it that were, I don't know what any of it meant, but I remember I walked out and I watched the dice spinning slowly, and there were a pair, and then I walked over to this opening or gate, and beyond the gate was just all this, you know, universe. It was just universe. And so I thought, okay, so as a rare, I took the opportunity to make that staircase a representation of that dream, and that it's kind of like, I guess, a form of ascending to another level, maybe, or...
Well, DNA came to my mind.
Yeah, me too. And so I put it in there, and so when... You know, it's fun because the reader doesn't know the backstory to that, but that is a backstory to why inside that tree has this crystal spiral staircase.
Nice.
And it's a growth thing. Like, you know, the little girl represents, the kind of moving through these different dimensions and growing, or changing. So that's, the story holds a lot of that. And it's loaded with that stuff. And
you're loaded with that. Sorry, I could not resist.
No, that's fine. No, but it's always fun for me because there's all this back history and fun little things hidden, and I love to get to tell them because, you know,
exactly.
When someone... Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to share that stuff.
Yeah. So, the juice of what makes us, you know... I mean, you know, it's really... You know, fabulous, because we were speaking to Joe, during the break, and, you know, that we're all kind of, you know, there's a group of us that are showing up, you know, we're just living our passion, and we're living our dreams, and we're, you know, we are sustaining ourselves. I'm not saying, you know, none of us are walking around like Bill Gates, you know, but, you know, beyond just the finances, there really is a sense of accomplishment, of, you know, if I'm going to be on this planet, I want to do the. I want to speak of the things I love to speak about. I want to be able to express myself. You know, and with you expressing yourself through your art and your words, you know, and your frequencies. You know, all of us. I can't stress enough how important it is right now, especially, you know, to really connect to the soul part of who you are. Not necessarily the part that, you know, wants to gather more stuff, mm-hmm. but the part of you that, you know, like we said, if dreaming is similar to what we experience in death, you can't take the stuff with you, not that you would need to, but there's other things you can work on that you can take with you. You know, the mm-hmm. inner emotional stuff and the virtues of life and
the completeness of yourself.
The time is ripe to go within and do the, you know, whenever there's chaos on the outside, if you have a a strong connection to your inside, I promise you, it's a lot, you experience the chaos on the outside much differently when you're not in chaos in the inside.
Yep.
There's
no tendency to panic at all. It's like, it's like having that compass inside you.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. We end at five of the, that's right.
Okay.
No, well, we got one more minute. I want you to give out your website, please.
It's www.jlkimmel.com. And our radio show that I love so much is what? The Mystical Mother Earth Show, and it's on Mondays.
Yeah.
Right? And, and
Mondays, 8 to 10 Eastern Time.
Right. Blog Talk Radio?
Yeah. Yep. Also found in the spiritual category.
And we love it.
It is definitely, it's our new baby. She's only 2 weeks old, so we're nurturing her. My other radio show is Thursday nights, 8 to 10, another reality show, Eastern Standard Time. And it was a pleasure, Janine. Thank you so much tonight for, showing up and,
Fun. Thank you.
Yeah, right on for the spontaneity. And Joe, it was a pleasure speaking with you. It is five of. So many blessings to Gia. I hope everything works out all right. And, we hope to see everybody on the airwaves wherever we might be flying by. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Thank you.
Never prospects were rosy. Four had a counter with another lamp. And I know, darling, that meant so for me. Or can I you more? Gonna take you how I can get you. And think about all the calls. Later on, it's from the moment I saw you, baby, my innocence is gone.